If you live in the United States, you and just about everyone else knows that there are different ways of speaking depending on where you live around this country. There's certain vocabulary words or phrases that are used in certain parts of the country that are not used in others. If you put together the way people talk with the wording that they use, you can get a pretty good idea of where someone hails from. This month, we're going to take a look at some of the accents and wording that people use around the country, and we'll also take a look at our own Midwestern accent. Although many Midwestern or Great Lakes area residents would deny that they have any type of accent at all, there is indeed a pronounced way to tell whether someone is from this region of the country. So sit back, give a listen, as today we are talking about speaking American, or more specifically, speaking Midwestern. Welcome to the Nordonia Hills Branch Library podcast on nonfiction, a discussion of nonfiction specifically and reading generally. We welcome you to this month's podcast, where we will be taking a look at language and speech today. Topics that don't get put on the podcast agenda too often. I think we may have done one other book so far in our 60-plus episodes that has to deal with language and speech. If I'm not mistaken, it was the talk about specific speech and vocabulary of certain industries or hobbies. Today we are not discussing topical forms of speech, but rather geographic or regional forms of speech. These regional accents or forms of speech are frequently exaggerated, especially in movies or TV sitcoms and whatnot. Everybody knows the Southern accent, the plain and proper New England accent, the New York / New Jersey accent. For those of us in Northeastern Ohio, we are very familiar with the Western Pennsylvania or Pittsburgh forms of speech. And of course, anyone who watched Saturday Night Live a number of years ago became ever so familiar with that distinctive Chicago accent popularized by those four comedians who talked about the Bears. But in addition to how someone talks, there is also what they say and words that they use for specific items or experiences or places. Our first book takes a graphic look at this through the use of infographic maps to display what parts of the country use certain phrases or words to denote certain things. The book is entitled Speaking American, How Y'all, Yous, and You Guys Talk, a Visual Guide by Josh Katz. This book is a larger format book, something that you might find on someone's coffee table. The author draws on work from the Dictionary of American Regional English, the Harvard Dialect Survey, and suggestions from his friends and family, which he originally did in the fall of 2013. He constructed an online survey to determine how people talk and opened it up for people to respond. The survey wound up garnering over 350,000 unique responses. He broke the book down into five parts: things we eat, where we go, things that we see, how we sound, how we live. One of the items that he looks at early on is how we call the second person plural in this country. English doesn't really have a nice second person plural pronoun. From the results he shows in the book, Americans pretty much use one of five constructions for that second person plural. The majority, about half of us, use you guys, as in, hey you guys, let's go to the store. About a quarter of us use y'all, hey y'all, let's go to the store. Some people will break it down even further in hey you all, which is separate from y'all. There's just the standard you, hey you, and then there's the very regional specific yins, which is a Western Pennsylvania construction. And for each of these usages, he has a map which corresponds to which parts of the country that particular use is prevalent. Now, in some of these maps, the dividing lines are much more clearly drawn. There is much more of a solid divide between this and that and the other. One map which shows this is what you call carbonated beverages. For the majority of the country, it is soda. For the northern half of the country, including this area, it's, of course, pop. And for the southern part of the country, especially the deep south, it is Coke. One of the most interesting maps in the book is the one depicting how one would say pecan, the nut. There are actually five different ways that people pronounce this word, and none of them are the majority. They all have a little slice of the pie, no pun intended. The majority, with less than 40% of the country's users saying it this way, is pecan. There's also pecan, 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 and pecan. Different pronunciations of the syllables, different accents on the syllables. Mr. Katz asked how many syllables there is in caramel. Up north, it's two. Down south, it's three. Caramel. He touches on some of the low-hanging fruit, like the difference in what you call a submarine sandwich or a hero or a grinder, whatnot. As he writes, perhaps no term is as regionally distinct as Clevelander's word for the strip of grass between the sidewalk and the road. Almost three-quarters of the country has no word for it at all. There are some scattered words around the country, the terrace, the verge, the berm, or the devil strip. But for northern Ohioans, especially around Cleveland, it is the tree lawn. He said one of the most distinctive ways to tell whether or not you're from the northern Ohio area is to ask someone what they call that strip, and if they say tree lawn, they're almost certainly from the Cleveland area. For certain terms, he also looks at the usage or the decrease in usage of certain terms over time. He does this by examining how people respond to certain words, the ones that they use, based on the decade in which they were born, from the 1940s to the 1990s. One particular item that causes me a tinge of sadness is the fact that it appears that the usage of the term lightning bug is decreasing, and the more prevalent firefly is becoming more of the normal term for the bug that you see in the summertime months. In addition to the national maps, he also has regional or state sidebars, each of which he entitles How to Pretend You're From, fill in the blank, How to Pretend You're From Wisconsin, How do you pretend you're from Hawaii, etc. These sidebars form the majority of the text in the book, and about the only place where you're going to find a number of paragraphs strung together in any one point. At just over 200 pages, and with the graphic format and layout of this book, you can get through this book pretty quickly. Our second book we're going to discuss today is much more regionally specific. You can tell from the title. How to Speak Midwestern by Edward McClelland. Mr. McClelland discusses about how most Midwesterners do not know that they have an accent. Or, if they are told they have one, they deny it. Many Midwesterners were always taught to believe that broadcast announcers and newscasters are always selected from among residents of the Midwest because of their lack of accent and their broad appeal to the entire country. He does have an explanation as to why that is, why so many people who have gotten into broadcasting have come from this area of the country. It's not exactly what you think. In the Midwest, there is not just one accent, but actually three distinct regional accents that he discusses and explains in some detail. There's the Midland accent, there is the North Central accent, and then there is our accent here in our area of the country, Inland North, which is from western New York across the northern corner of Pennsylvania near Erie, across northern Ohio and Michigan, northern Illinois and Chicago. He explains the general rules for speaking Midwestern and such things as you talk through your nose. Most of your accent emanates from the top half of the head. We don't just pronounce our R's, we draw them out as much as possible. English language dialects are divided into two types, rhotic and non-rhotic. Non-rhotic speakers drop their R's after vowels at the end of words, the classic Bostonian accent. Pack the car and have it yad. Rhotic speakers pronounce the R's wherever they appear in a word. Midwestern speech is usually rhotic in the extreme, according to Mr. McClelland. We don't just roll our R's, we growl them together. Midwesterners omit vowels. We go to the restaurant. We had a great steak and potato. You park your car in the garage, the way he spells it, G-R-O-J, garage, not garage, garage. Now, beyond the general rules for Midwest speaking, he also goes into each of the three dialects specifically and discusses the features of Inland North, the features of Midland, and the features of North Central. For the most of us around here who speak Inland North, you may be interested to know that we are subject to what they call the Inland North vowel shift, where we start transposing the sounds of our vowels. The book describes these shifts and how they work out in somewhat of a technical manner, but not too heavy. I mean, this is not a book for audio or auditory professionals. This is a book for the general reader. Only in the Great Lakes and the Mid-Atlantic states does the word cot, the portable bed that you would find at camp, sound different from caught, as in I caught the baseball. Or the fronted O, which makes box, sound like box. Now, when the author points out these kind of general rules, he's not making any value judgments about our choices of how we speak, or how anyone else speaks for that matter. He's just basically reporting what the research shows. In addition to the sections on the three major dialects, or the three major accents, they also has some smaller sections on the features of Pittsburgh speech, St. Louis speech, and Minneapolis or Minnesota speech. The reader will discover that only in Wisconsin, among all the Midwest or Great Lakes states, will you find all three of the dialects in the same state. The author takes care of all the different regional descriptions and features by page 60. From pages 61 to 138, he provides a handy glossary that is broken down by geographical area. Some of the selections from the Ohio part of the glossary include the best damn band in the land, cookie table, devil strip, sauerkraut balls, and party plates. And that's about it for the book. Just over 140 pages, including a bibliography and some acknowledgments. It's a very quick read, a very small format. You could probably fit it in a big pocket. It is not illustrated. A very interesting look at those of us who are Midwestern speakers. For two great pictures of how we speak these days, or how people speak in other parts of the country these days, check out Speaking American and How to Speak Midwestern, both available at your library. Summer is here, and again, another opportunity for you to participate in our mind, body, and soul. Take this time in the summertime to stretch out and read, or stretch out and go for a nice walk or some other kind of exercise or movement. Keep track of your progress on both tracks, your reading track and your movement track. Stop by the library to let us know how you're doing, and you can win some great prizes. Mind, Body, and Soul goes through the end of July, and it is for all ages. Don't be an adult sitting on the sideline saying, that's just for kids. No, it is for all ages, including you. We hope you'll join us for Mind, Body, and Soul. We will be back in July with another topic on nonfiction. Until then, we'll see you at your Nardonia Hills Branch Library. Music by 20 Riverside, provided by Mevio's Music Alley. Music.mevio.com. Thank you for listening.